You know, the things that we read about in 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you think about them and listen to what Paul wrote in those first four verses, you can certainly say that it describes our day. And if you read this book and then you listen to the news and read the newspapers, you quickly come to the conclusion that we're living in those last days that Paul talked about in verse 1. He said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." I believe the next thing on God's calendar is what we call the rapture, where Jesus will come back and call those Christians out of this world. Then comes the tribulation, and I believe that time is closer than it's ever been. Now, I will hasten to say, nobody knows the time. I mean, the angels don't. I don't believe Jesus even knows. God the Father knows. And one day I think he'll look over to his son who sits at his right hand in heaven and say, "It's time to go get the kids. Go and get them and bring them home." But that of that day, of that hour, nobody knows. You have heard, as I have heard, of people that have tried to set dates. And they've convinced their followers to sell everything they have, and they don't go to a high mountain someplace and dress themselves in white robes, and they wait, thinking Jesus is going to come, and they don't come, because again, nobody knows the time, nobody knows the date. But I believe it's closer than it's ever been, closer than it's ever been. And I will tell you, I think there's too many things that are blamed on the last days that shouldn't be blamed on the last days. I've heard evangelists say, "Well, you can't have revival today. You can't get Christians stirred up. You can't get God's people to live like it. Why? It must be the last days. Must be the last days." I've heard pastors say, "Well, you can't build a church. Church can't grow in these days. The field's too hard. The people are hard-hearted. The people are hard-headed. You can't reach them. Why? It must be the last days." And Christians get discouraged, and they quit. They quit coming to Sunday school. They quit soul winning. They quit church on Sunday night. They quit church on Wednesday night. And they say, "Well, what's the use? It's the last days. Why should I even try?" I believe we're living in the last days. And I believe that it won't be long till the trumpet sounds and Jesus will say, "Come up hither." But the last days are not the time to give up. The last days are not the time to get discouraged. The last days are not the time to quit. The last days are the time to give all that we've got for God and kick it up a notch and go all out for the glory of God. Now, I think we learn that. One of the places we learn that, besides this book, is what we see around us in the world of sports. I mean, many basketball games, when the score is close and there's 60 seconds to go, a minute to go, the coach doesn't call the team together and say, "Hey, look, it's the last minute. The game's close, so why don't you just coast for a while? Just take it easy. In fact, have an RC before you go back." A Royal Cola, for those of you that don't know what an RC is. But have an RC and go back out on the court and, just take it easy for the last minute. You will never hear a good basketball coach say that. A good basketball coach will say, "Hey, the game is still ours. We can still win. We just need your best effort, all you got, 110% for the last 60 seconds. Now go out there and give me all that you've got plus some." Hockey game, score tied, 30 seconds left. The coach doesn't gather the team and say, "Hey, look, we only got a half a minute left. Just take it easy. Maybe we'll go into overtime." No coach, hockey coach, wants to go into overtime. I don't understand the rules now about these shootouts and stuff like that. But I read all the time, Red Wings got beat in a shootout. And I don't know if that means one guy gets to take a shot and then another guy gets to take a shot. One of you guys that follow hockey can explain it to me after church tonight. But a coach doesn't say, "Hey, look, there's only a half a minute left. Just go out there and take it easy and we'll go into overtime." No, the coach said, "Look, we can win this game. We just need your best effort for the last half minute of the game." When you're running a race, you don't come to the final lap and say, "Hey, I've only got one more lap to go. I think I'll just jog. I mean, I've been giving it all out for all the other laps. I think I'll just sort of coast the rest of the race. No, what you do for the last lap is, again, you kick it up a notch, you get that second breath, and you give it all you got. You say, one more time around the track, one more lap, and I'll be done. Then I can rest, then I can relax, then I can get something, a pop or orange juice or something to drink. But this last lap, I'm going to give it all that I got. I would remind you, Paul tells us in this book, that we did not get into this game to play. We got in this game to win. You know, I've told you before, when I play games, I play to win. That's right, Brother Wayne. My kids won't even play games with me because I like to win. I don't believe in playing just to play. I mean, I know, you know, that's... But if you're going to play a game, I play to win. I do not like to lose. I don't like to lose. And I play to win. And I will tell you, there are many games that are decided in the final lap, in the last minute, in the last inning. You know, the Tigers used to have a reliever. I always worried when he came in because you never knew what was going to happen. And I've been to too many, I've listened to too many games where they were down. All they needed to get one more guy out, and they lost the game because they couldn't finish. Now, the numbers I'm going to give you are a couple 3 years old, but they still make my point, okay? The world population grows by about 200,000 people a day. Every day worldwide, there's 200,000 little babies that are born. So the population grows 200,000 a day. A couple, 3 years ago, Southern Baptist, all the churches in the Southern Baptist Convention won 400,000 people to Christ. 400,000 people. By my math, that would be everybody that would be born on January 1st and January 2nd. January 1st, January 2nd. That statistic says if nobody else has won anybody to Christ, that everybody born on January 3rd through December 31st would end up going to hell. Now, I know there's other people, lots of other people, besides Southern Baptists that win people to Christ. Let's say, just for sake of numbers, there's 10 groups that win 400,000 people to Christ every year. By my math, that would take us to January the 20th. We could account and win to Christ everybody that was born the first 20 days of January. But by that math, everybody, and again, I'm just using this for sake of illustration, everybody that was born between January 21st and December 31st would die and go to hell. Now, those numbers have probably changed. And maybe we're winning more, maybe we're winning less. I don't know. But don't tell me that the last days are the days to quit. There's too many people that are being born into this world that need to hear that Jesus died for them. There's too many people, and sometimes we think, well, yeah, those people over in the foreign lands, those people that, you know, are in the deepest parts of Africa and different parts of Asia, they're the ones that have never heard. I'll tell you what, there's people that live around us that have never heard the story of Jesus Christ. Never, ever. So, you know, and I was thinking about it this afternoon, Autumn. That got saved. And I mentioned it in the testimony time. Brian preaches the same thing in the fellowship hall that I preach back here. I mean, he preaches back there what I preach in here. Everybody's a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. That penalty is to be separated from God forever and ever and ever. Jesus went to the cross to pay our penalty. He paid the price for us. And if we'll ask him, he'll save us. And as Teresa explained to that little girl this morning, she understood that she was a sinner. She understood that Jesus died for her. And she asked Jesus to be her Savior. Now, I'll say again, that's what it's all about. That's why we are here. Oh, you say, well, wait a minute, preacher. I thought part of the church's responsibility was to help Christians grow and to mature. And yes, it is. But that is not an end in itself. I mean, if that was an end in itself, after we got saved, God would take us to heaven, because I tell you what, we could sure a whole lot better grow and mature in his presence than we can in this wicked world. For Christians to grow and mature is not an end in itself. We're supposed to grow and mature so that we can go out and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's why we should grow and mature. Because there's people that need to hear about Jesus Christ. There's people that need to hear that they're sinners. There's people that need to hear that there's a Savior. There's people that need to hear if they'll ask Jesus, he'll save them. And so what happened this morning in the fellowship hall is the summation of what we're all about. That's the ultimate goal. That's the end. That's why we're here. And if a church quits preaching the gospel and telling people about Christ, you ought to just shut their doors and go home. And if we ever quit, we ought to just shut our door and go home. Because that is why we are here. So it's the last days. So it's perilous times. So it's the final lap. What do? I have some suggestions tonight. Number one, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on him. Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He ran the final lap. He did not quit. He gave it all that he had until he went and died on that cross. And how can we quit? Because it's the last days when we look at the one who went before us, when we look at the one who set the example for us, who did not quit, who ran the final lap. In verse 1, it says, seeing we are also compassed about. In verse 2, it says, looking. As I look toward heaven, I see the checkered flag. I see the finish line. I see the witnesses that are there. I see the apostles. I see Peter, and I see James, and I see John, and I see Andrew. I see the apostle Paul. I see my grandmothers. I see my aunts and uncle. I see pastors and Sunday school teachers that have invested part of their life in me. And I see them as they cheer from heaven in the grandstands of heaven. And I see their encouragement. And I see their example. And I see their love. But I sort of see it in my peripheral vision. Because if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I am looking at Jesus. I'm looking at him, the one, the author and the finisher of our faith. It's like Peter when he got out of the boat that day on the Sea of Galilee in the middle of that storm. Jesus, you know, you remember the story? They thought they were seeing a ghost. And Jesus came walking, as he came walking to him on the sea, and yeah, he said, "Don't be afraid, it's me." And Peter said, "Hey, if it's really you, let me come walking to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come on, come on." Now, the storm hadn't stopped at that point. The wind was still blowing, the waves were still high, and you know, it was dark, and it was still in the middle of the storm. And as Peter was walking in that storm, as long as he was looking at Jesus, he stayed on top. But the Bible says when he took his eyes off Christ, he began to sink and had to cry out, "Lord, save me, save me." Now you listen, you take your eyes off Jesus, I take my eyes off Jesus, same things are going to happen to us. In these last days, in these perilous times, we'll quit. We'll quit. I would encourage you tonight, don't put your eyes on other men. Don't put your eyes on your pastor. Don't put your eyes on your Sunday school teacher. Don't put your eyes on other men. We do our best, but we'll disappoint you. Because we are human beings. You keep looking at Christ. You keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that set the example that we don't quit in the last inning. He's the one that set the example that we don't quit with 60 seconds on the clock. He's the one that set the example that we keep going until the race is over. So you keep your eyes on him. Number two, lay aside the weight and the sin, which does so easily beset us. In the last 30 seconds of a game, a coach doesn't say, hey, guys, come have some pizza and Coca-Cola, and then go out and finish the last 30 seconds of the game. What's wrong with pizza and Coca-Cola? Not a thing. Not a thing. But a basketball team doesn't eat it before the last 60 seconds of the game. It will slow them down. Last 30 seconds of a hockey game, the coach doesn't say, hey, come on in, let's have some moon pies and Pepsi. I'm giving everybody equal service tonight, okay? Come on in, we'll have moon pies and Pepsi. Coach doesn't do that. All these guys have a big feast after the game. I mean, they eat and they drink Gatorade after, but it's after the game. In the last seconds of the game or in the last period of the game, the coach doesn't say, hey, let's take time out and go get something to drink and go get something to eat, because the coach knows that it will slow the team down. Nothing wrong with having, you know, pizza. Nothing wrong with having moon pies. If you haven't tried one for a while, you ought to try one. They're still good. Amen. Nothing wrong with, you know, having a Big Mac or a Culver's hamburger. Nothing wrong with all that. But it's wrong to keep the weights in our life that would keep us from doing what Jesus wants us to do in these last days. In these last days. You say, preacher, what's a weight? Well, it says sin and weight. We know what a sin is. A weight is something that may not be bad, but something that will affect your testimony for Christ. And Jesus just said, or Paul said in the book of Hebrews, just lay it aside. We'll say, what's wrong with it? Well, there's nothing wrong with it. If it was something wrong with it, it'd be called a sin. Absolutely nothing wrong with it. But it's something that will affect your testimony. And so you lay it aside because we're in the last days and we want to give all that we've got. So what do? Last days. We keep our eyes on Jesus. We say, lay aside the weight and the sin. And then number three, we stay wired to heaven. We stay wired to heaven. So what does that mean? That means we stay in this book. Stay in this book every day. We stay in this book. We spend time in prayer every day. We let God talk to us and we talk to God. We let him talk to us and we talk to him. When I worked at GM, one of the things our division did was sponsor race car drivers, NASCAR. And we went on a trip one time down to North Carolina to where Childers had his garage, and Earnhardt was still driving for him at that time. So they gave us a tour of the garage, and they showed us how they build the cars and builds the engines. And then we had lunch, and after lunch they showed a movie of the last few seconds of a race that Earnhardt was driving. And they were going 200 miles an hour, and he was cutting in and cutting out and cutting in and cutting out. And so after the part of the movie, just a few seconds of a movie, they let us ask him questions. And so one of the guys that was with us says, Dale, when you're in that final few laps of the race, it just looks like you just cut in, cut out, cut in, cut out, cut in, cut out. He says, how do you know how to do that? I mean, are you looking over your shoulder? Are you looking in the rearview mirror? And his answer amazed me. His answer was, no. When you're going 200 miles an hour, you don't have time to look over your shoulder. And you don't even have time to look in the rearview mirror. There's too many things that could happen out front that if you're not keeping your eyes up front, you'll get into trouble. So the guy said, well, how do you know when to cut in, cut out? He said, well, I wear earphones. And I got a spotter that sets up way high in the stands, and he's talking to me all the time. And he's telling me when to cut in and when to cut out and when to pass and when not to pass. And I thought to myself, what faith? I mean, I don't even listen to my wife who's sitting beside me. And neither do you. Don't get that holy righteousness on your face, neither do you. But here's a guy going 200 miles an hour that has his faith in a guy that's sitting somewhere way up high with binoculars on him, talking to him over a microphone, saying, cut in, cut out, cut in, cut out, pass, don't pass. And I thought to myself, man, why can't we do that with God? Why can't we do that with him? I mean, he sets on high. He looks at every one of our lives. He knows what we need to do next and what we don't need to do. That verse in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I'm not going 200 miles an hour, but my life moves pretty quick sometimes. I'm called upon to make decisions sometimes really quick. And yet, the times that I try to do it myself, I get messed up. But if I would just listen to the one that's talking to me, if I would just listen to what he tells me in that book, if I would listen to what he tells me through other people that are godly that he uses to send instructions to me, I'd be a whole lot better off. And I thought to myself, man, if this guy can listen to this guy with binoculars and he's going 200 miles an hour and he's putting his life in his hands, why can't I put my life in the hands of the one who died in my place, who made me fit for heaven, who's preparing a place for me in heaven? Why can't I have enough faith to listen to him when he talks to me? I can't think of a reason why I shouldn't. Can you? But I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of times that I don't. And that's when I get into trouble. Last days, perilous times. These are the times we need to stay wired to heaven. Because we have a God. We have a God that knows what's going to happen and what we need to do day by day. Day by day. Then number four, what should we do? Run. Run. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Doesn't say jog. Doesn't say walk fast. It says run. Run. Tell you what. There's always going to be people. Sometimes it's family. Sometimes it's friends that will tell you, hey, now, you know, just take it easy. You're exerting yourself too much in this Christianity thing. Just pull back a little bit. Take it easy. You need to slow down. You're going to burn out. You're going to exhaust yourself. And there's people that are going to tell you that. That's not what this book says. This book says we keep running. We keep running. Final lap? Maybe. Last inning? Maybe. Last few seconds of the period? Maybe. I don't know. But I know this, it's closer than it's ever been. And I know this, the one that went before us did not quit. He finished it. And when he said from the cross, it is finished, he was providing an example to every single one of us. Finish it. Kick it up a notch. Run. 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 There's men and women and boys and girls that need to hear about Jesus Christ. And we need to tell. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. I pray you'll challenge us from it. Father, I pray that you'd help us to realize the fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. And so we need to do all that we can. We need to do all that we can. And so I pray you'll help us. I pray we'll use the next few weeks to invite people that don't know Jesus to come to church with us. I pray we give them a track. I pray we tell them how we got saved. And I pray that we could experience many times in the next few weeks what we experienced in junior church this morning. We could see little boys, little girls, teenagers, men and women come to trust Christ as their Savior. So make us what we need to be. Make us what we need to be for them, what you want us to be to reach them. And we won't take any of the glory. We'll give it all to our Savior who died for us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.